the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages, that rocks across its arms outspread, celestial glory bathed its head. To its firm base my all I bring, and to the cross of ages cling. Some build their hopes on the ever-drinking sand, some on the penny or the treasure or the land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus is the rock of ages. That rock's a tower whose lofty height illumined with heaven's unclouded light. Oh, what is gate beneath the dome, where saints find rest with Christ at home? Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on the fame or the treasure or the land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to thee for this beautiful day and for the many blessings that you give us. We ask you to bless us as we go through this study. Help us to hold our name high as we go from day to day. Ask you to bless us ones that are here tonight, Brother Robert and Jane. Ask you to guide, guard, and direct us and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now if you would mark, please, number 714. We sang this morning the first and third verses. I'd like tonight for us to sing number 2 and 3 of this particular song, What Will Your Answer Be? 714. And if you look right across the page, we'll sing this song before the sermon tonight, The Love of God. 7:13. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty man bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Verse 2. When hoary times shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains God's love so pure shall still endure, and measureless and strong. Redeeming grace from heaven's race, the saints and angels song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Now mark there number 714, verses 2 and 3 at the close of our lesson tonight. There are some things in this earthly life that we have that are unique, and we use them every day. For example, the keys that are in your pocket. You may have many different keys, which I have many different keys to many different vehicles. They do not interchange. There's a unique one for the Toyota. There's a unique one for, you know, Miss Jane's vehicle in the town and country. There's a unique one for the Ford Explorer out there. And everything about them is unique. There's a unique key to open the front door and the side doors of this building that we're in tonight. You have a unique key to your house. Not every key that people have, even though they're house keys and opening keys. I know we have one that knows a lot about keys tonight and what you call those chambers that you enter. But I know that you have a chamber, the open chamber. You may have many keys that fit into that open chamber, but not the nodules to turn the keys, to turn the particular motor and open that door. You have uniquely a key that is designed for that and for that unique thing. I once had a key that would just open up most anything around the church building. We'd step up that way and say, well, let me just check this key. And it would open up a storage door, and it would open up a back door, and open up an office door. It was uniquely designed. However, it was unique because it had the design on it that would fit into those tumblers just right. But one day, someone came along the way and put some oil on that key, and it wouldn't work on anything but one of those doors. One of those doors would work, but it wouldn't work on the others. That oil made enough slickness that it just wouldn't catch the tumbler system and turn it. Unique things in this old world are unique to the ideas of the one that you asked to marry you. You dated one another, you courted with one another, you saw the plans, and here's the one that I want for the rest of my life. Uniquely, that one is chosen for you. There are uniqueness things in regard to how we view God's will and God's way too. Because God has a way in which we'll be unique servants to Him, in which the world at large will be greatly, greatly impressed for the right, for the good. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we will uniquely seek first the kingdom of God, don't you believe that we will be a real influence for the world in which we live? If we were to take our time, and we would be a good investment of time. If we were to take our time and just dismiss services now, go out and get in our cars and drive around and drive about places that are holding church services, we would see that there are a whole lot less cars tonight than there would be this morning. Even if we go into a city that's major cities of lots of cars and lots of things, uniquely, if there are people a part of a religious service there, that's a smaller group than the overall group that you pass on the highways as you go by. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He had just talked about there in Matthew chapter 6 very vividly in regard to this matter, food, clothes, and shelter. And how that we labor for those kind of things, and we sometimes weary ourselves about food, clothes, and shelter, when in fact God sees the needs of the sparrow and feeds them and clothes them and takes care of them. And Jesus said, are you not more valuable than they? God sees that need and He meets that need, and it's unique to each one of the critters.
It is unique because God made it that way. We appreciate God for His unique spirit of love. He has a love for us by which it is described as a love that is forgiving, kind, generous, and spirited. It is wonderful to see the love that God has for us. Turned to His Son, according to Hebrews 10, and said to His Son, in regard to this matter, a body I have made for you. If you will go and inhabit that body down there on earth and live among mankind, teach mankind the right things that I want you to teach of how to live, how to behave, how to do. And one of those things that He did in that body was say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We have a lot of brethren in the congregation here that have not yet realized that unique spirit, that unique way. So tonight's lesson on uniqueness will be repeated. It'll be for a Sunday morning crowd. And about 4 months from now, it'll be repeated again for somebody who may have missed it at that particular time. And about 4 months later, it'll be throughout this year, the unique spirit of those who serve our Heavenly Father will be emphasized. And so it is that in our daily walk of life, we want to be people who serve the cause of God in a unique spirit, in a unique way that He has taught us that we should do. Secondly, consider in regard to this matter how God taught His people to look at things of this earth. Uniquely, we as servants of God do not look at this as though it is all in all, that it's the end of everything, that the job we have, the career that we have, the money that we make, the kind of structures that we can build with that money, the kind of work that we can do, is all that there really is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, vividly it is noted to you and me how that we live in this body and how we develop in this body, but how that this is not the end. That there is coming a day and time in which we will leave this body and go on. The Apostle Paul deals with the brethren at Corinth who have questions about this. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, vividly it is noted the question, how are the dead raised up and with what body will they come? And there Paul is referring to them as uniquely as they are in the planted garden. You go out and you plant a garden seed, that which comes forth is not that which you planted exactly. It doesn't look exactly like that. It's not exactly like that, but it yields for you seed. It leads for you roots. It yields for you a stalk. It yields for you limbs and branches and fruit abundant that comes up from that. Well, there are unique ways in which we find ourselves. And here is Paul saying to the brethren, listen, it is the case that we come here physical beings, but we'll not always be physical. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet. To the brethren at Thessalonica, he makes that a vivid description in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So it is that we're uniquely going to be prepared to fly away. And it is the case that we'll go to meet Him in the air, if we're still alive and remain here at His coming. Remember, the Lord counts time, not as man counts time. We look at 1900 years going by. We look at a couple of days that God has in view. 1,000 years as one day. One day as 1,000 years. It is the case that God uniquely looks at time in a different way. Here we are in a body that we are. We're in this physical dwelling that we're in. And this is something that about us is unique to this time. Useful for this time. But it'll be changed to meet the unique presence of the Lord. And so we find ourselves going toward that day. Songwriters will write about these particular things sometimes. They'll write about how changes are made in our lives and how we find ourselves looking forward to His coming. But you know, when we find ourselves being people who fall from serving God, the book of Revelation will tell us in regard to their plight. In Revelation chapters 4 through 6, we read of the servants of God and how if they raise a question regarding their suffering death at the hands of someone who was against Jesus, and they say, how long shall we go on, Lord, without our blood being avenged upon the earth? The Lord called for white robes to be brought to them and delivered to them, and they were robed in white. And he told them that they must yet remain here for a time until you're like fellows on earth, your brethren back there on earth, who will suffer as did you, will come to join you here. There's a unique holding, a unique pleasurable way of living in the presence of the Lord when we go to life's other side. And we find ourselves thinking about the Lord and His right way in life. So we've taken a look at what unique is there about in our lives. We know that we have it around us all the time. Even just the keys that we have in our hands. We know that not every key fits every lock that we have even at our house or car. Secondly, we find ourselves seeking first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to us. We're uniquely doing His will and His way. This is what the Lord expects of us to do. Notice also we've looked at the things about our lives and how we physically measure up to uniquely being here on the earth. But we find that we're going to be changed if we're alive and remain when the Lord comes. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll go to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a blessing it is for that song to say, I will fly away. But I've noted more than one time that in that particular chorus of that song, I'll Fly Away, even the songwriter there was not willing to say that today's the day I want to fly away. Because he says in that unique part of that particular chorus of that song, hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. He's looking for a time to come, but he's not looking for that song to be fulfilled right here now, right here today. But he will have it to be fulfilled someday in time if he's alive and remain. What else should we uniquely think about? Uniquely think about our worship of God. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, when Jesus said, the Father seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not just a matter of coming to a religious service. It's not just a matter of worship songs being sung and prayers being prayed and sermons being done and the Lord's Supper being drank and partaken of. It's a matter of where's our love in this matter? Where's our commitment to seek first the kingdom? There's a commitment to it. And where is our love now in this regard of worshiping God in spirit and in truth? If we find ourselves worship Him as we should, we will appreciate the fact that brethren have gone on before us and done the same thing. They met and they gathered on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 20. And they were surprised by the fact that Paul had arrived there 6 days before at Troas. And that Paul met with them on that particular day. He preached unto them and extended his speech until midnight. Suggesting to you and me that they met at the close of a day, and as they went through the night time, they gathered and they met in that regard. They were part of the worship of the Lord there. And they did that in just a good way. You'll find that there was a man there who found himself asleep and out of an open window that was there for ventilation, no doubt. Slipped out that window. And died as a result of his fall to the ground. Paul's power at that particular time, by the power of God, brought about a change. He went down and called him back to life. This man came up. Whether he's just knocked out is a possibility. But nevertheless, Paul delivered him back up. He ate with them all and extended his visit with them until the break of day and departed to get on a ship and travel further. The uniqueness of that occasion has happened more than once in a local worship service. We have had people to come and visit back with us that we used to be here years ago. And you know how we rejoice and meet around them and pat them on the back, and they pat us on the back too. And we smile and we laugh about old times as well as new times. And we meet people that love this place and love the work that was being done here through the years. And we enjoy that and that relationship with them. That's not in and of itself a worship time. But during that worship time, there are events as would happen there at Troas that interrupt the time. There's something else to be done. And they needed to go down and get the man knocked out or dead. They needed to go down and get the man and bring him back up if they could. And they did. Paul needed to eat a meal. And he did eat a meal with them before he went on his way. But the brethren there came uniquely for this cause. On the first day of the week, when the disciples met together to break bread, Paul was there and preached unto them. They had that opportunity to remember what Jesus had done for them. The body and the blood were there shared with them. They remembered what he had done. And they were meeting on this first day. What does the Hebrew writer tell us about that day and that time? Hebrews 10, verse 25, very well known passage of scripture. It tells us, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There are those that think the context of that particular day is the day of judgment, and that we're to encourage one another as we meet and gather, even during the course of the week, toward that day that the judgment day will be here. I see that passage in the midst of a passage that deals with day-to-day events. A lot of day-to-day events taking place. And I was reminded that a verse needs to be interpreted on the basis of the context in which it is found. And it looks like to me that the context is of their day-to-day activities. And so as true worshipers of the Lord in spirit and in truth, knowing that we will come together upon the first day of the week, we find an opportunity to encourage one another. Why do we meet at other times during the week? We meet at other times in gospel meetings and Bible lectureships and special programs like a youth day event. And events like that Vacation Bible School would be another one of those kind of days. We meet at those particular days and times for the purpose of growing in what God has said in His Word so that we'll know more about Him. And when it comes to the first day of the week and we gather to worship God in spirit and in truth, that we can more effectively enjoy that, more effectively do that, more effectively be the person that God wants us to be. We find our ways of doing that. What a blessing it is. Thank you for your study with us tonight. We appreciate your time very much in all of this matter. And the unique character of the servant of God is with us, and God wants us to be that way as we do this. Let's stand together and sing verses 2 and 3 of 714.
Sadly you'll stand at the judgment prepared, trembling you'll fall on your knees, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will your sentences be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Wash in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? What will it be?
you close us in prayer, please?